By some estimates, and these are based on hard counts, there are 2.5 million homeless people in the United States who are not yet adults. That's roughly one of every 30 children who do not have a permanent home. Shelters have been created in several communities to house them. Now an organization in Klamath County that already serves young people is moving ahead with plans for a homeless shelter for them. Youth Rising is the organization. Let's hear about the plans. Hallie Winchell is the Youth Rising Development Coordinator and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Hallie, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. It's wonderful to be here.
Talk about what Youth Rising does now, if you would, and how long it's been doing it.
Absolutely. So Youth Rising is it's a nonprofit organization here in Klamath County that has been working to support young people since 2014. We opened a drop-in center in 2014, and originally the drop-in center was approximately 800 square feet. And it was in a mobile teen center.
Sounds cozy.
Excuse me, go ahead.
Sounds cozy.
Yeah, it was. And then as more and more kids, youth of various ages between, you know, variously between 11 to 18, started using the services, we were able to expand in 2017 to a 7,000-square-foot location in downtown Klamath Falls across from Old Town Pizza. So we currently serve about 800 youth every month, and they do all kinds of activities at our drop-in center. Anything from, you know, having a lesson on basic cooking to homework help, playing pool. We have video game tournaments. One of our most popular activities is Dungeons and Dragons. And sometimes we have Nerf War activities and things like that. So the kids are very engaged, and we've involved a variety of youth in various different levels of leadership in order to make sure that we're providing services that they need. And that's partly how the shelter came about.
So is the drop-in center as currently constituted, and apparently that won't change, I mean, is it about serving students, kids in need, or is it just about anybody who wants to show up?
Honestly, it's about anyone between the ages of 11 to 18 who needs a place to go that's safe, secure, after school. We operate in the after-school hours until about 6 p.m. at night, unless some reason we might be later for a special event of some kind. Most of the time, we are working with kids in need. We've estimated about 90% of our students in the local area, excuse me, are in need, come from families in need. So by and large, these are kids who need somewhere to go because they don't have regular transportation, or they want more socialization. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Or our systems, our computer systems, you know, also provide some assistance for them to complete various homework assignments or school projects. I mean, there's a variety of reasons that they engage with us. We also help them look for jobs, help them with resumes. You know, there's a variety of things we can do to assist them, and the students have been extremely appreciative of the drop-in center staff at their disposal.
I can see how over time, as you get to know kids better and get to know their needs a little better, this is when they would reveal to you things like, I don't have a really regular place to live.
Exactly, and that and that has become the long-term concern that that we faced. The drop-in center at which we tell all, you know, young people when they get involved with us is a mandatory reporter. So, you know, we have the same responsibilities that a teacher or a doctor would have. But from time to time, some of those things are gray areas, like whether or not someone has a place to spend the night. And so apparently, and this unfortunately was before I joined the organization, but our program director, Britt Clark, she was working with the drop-in center, and she still is there, and the kids had two or three different young people had approached her and said that they would like to spend the night at the drop-in, if that was okay. And, of course, you know, after she asked them a few more questions, it became clear that this was because either they didn't feel comfortable going home, there was something going on at home, or they just didn't have a safe place to go. And so, unfortunately, we can't let the youth stay overnight. It's not safe, and we don't have anybody on site. But this did involve the Youth Rising Board when they received the report about this particular request. The board had a very, very lengthy discussion. In fact, went over the board meeting by over an hour discussing this issue. And it became clear that several people who are on our board had similar experiences when they had had youth, because many of our board members are involved in youth issues already, had been facing similar issues when they had tried to place some of the young people in Klamath County at the local shelter that is available here, which is very small. And so, unfortunately, there's just not always room in that shelter. So it became clear to Tasha Locks, our executive director, that we needed a much more extensive shelter for young people and possibly even a longer-term solution as well. So that's how the Youth Rising House shelter program was born.
We are talking to Hallie Winchell, who's the Youth Rising Development Coordinator, Youth Rising, an organization that serves youth in the Klamath Basin. You can join our conversation on the exchange as we talk about the development of facilities for homeless young people. 800-838-3760 gets you here by phone. You can send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So you're saying there is a shelter now, but not a very big one?
Right, absolutely. And, we're not looking to cause a competition or anything of that nature. It's just that we want to help support the kids who have a need for that type of service in this area. And so the Youth Rising House has been, we've been able to locate ourselves in the previous Klamath Gospel Mission Service building, which was a men's shelter before the new shelter opened, about a block away. And that facility has been, built up from the ground up, and it's very, very nice and brand new. But the old building has been around quite a while and needs a lot of work if we're going to house somewhere between 15 to 30 students of various ages there.
So what is the typical case, if there is such a thing, in terms of the age of the student, relations with or connections to parents or other family or any of that stuff?
Well, we involve parents at a variety of levels at Youth Rising. So parents are, of course, welcome to participate and understand, what it is we're doing with the youth at the drop-in center currently. So that is, we're not trying to, for example, disengage young people from their families. It's more that we want to help them communicate better. And often we've heard from young people that they are struggling to communicate with their parents or guardians. And, sometimes that tends to be the most common reason young people will run away. However, to be honest, nationally, children tend to leave home because of abuse, neglect, or substance abuse. So there are some serious reasons that young people will choose to go out on their own. And sadly, the fastest growing age group is between 10 to 12 years old. And so we're very concerned with young people being out on the street at that age.
What are the requirements, though, to serve that population through something like a youth shelter? I mean, would they have to be referred to foster care, or what other sorts of amenities would have to come into play there?
Well, obviously we wouldn't replace foster care. It's a bit of a tricky question to answer. We would have to be licensed by the state, and we would have to make sure that the youth we're working with aren't already in foster care. Anyone who is in foster care would have to be referred back to that service. But we would, of course, work with them to make sure that whatever reason they chose to leave has been addressed, because that would be our goal. Our role is to be an advocate for youth. So, you know, if someone comes to us and says they're having a problem, we want to make sure that they get the support that they need to resolve it. You know, the other shelter here in Klamath Falls, unfortunately, the youth can only stay there for 21 days. And so when they might need somewhere longer term to go because perhaps their parent is dealing with a substance use issue, we would like to provide them with something that gives them a little longer of a resource.
So how long a stay do you envision at the Youth Rising House?
Well, that's a tricky question also, but I mean, basically we would have a variety of levels of shelter at the service, at the Youth Rising House. So we envision that there would be a sort of a crisis temporary shelter that would provide up to 21 days as well for immediate needs. And then if a youth needs more time, they would then be qualified for some of our other services that are longer lasting. So they could stay for, you know, another 4 weeks, another 6 weeks, possibly even up to 120 days. You know, it depends on the situation that they're facing at home or foster care with their guardians or et cetera.
So, Hallie, I see that Klamath County reports 292 homeless students. That's just the Klamath County District, so it doesn't include the city schools, I would assume. Is there a suspicion that the number of children who end up homeless at some point during the school year is higher still?
Yes, there is. Unfortunately, youth homelessness is one of the trickiest to accurately estimate because so many young people end up couch surfing or staying with friends or extended family. And depending on your definition of homelessness, I mean, you also get a different number. You know, the school districts view homelessness as any child who is not living with their own parent in that parent's house or home of any nature. So living with your grandparent or living with an aunt or uncle might actually be considered homelessness. So that's kind of a very specific technicality of homelessness, but you also have to imagine that creates trauma in the youth's life. So it makes sense that they would identify it that way. And then, you know, so it's very tricky to identify how many youth are actually living without proper supervision, without safety, and that's what we would like to address. You know, we're also going to be providing in-house counseling and support groups within our services to help make sure that the youth are getting everything that they can from our services while they're working with us.
This is the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Hallie Winchell, who is the Youth Rising Development Coordinator. Youth Rising, about to open down the road, Youth Rising House for homeless youth in Klamath Falls, serving 15 to 30 kids a night. You can join our conversation on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about homelessness in young people. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. How much work has to go into the old gospel mission to get it into shape as a shelter for young people, as Youth Rising House?
Yeah, it's pretty extensive. We're going to need quite a bit of funding to support the remodel process. We want to make sure that we've separated various wings of the house into, you know, gender by gender, and then also by, there will be separate areas for by age group so that we have, you know, different youth having the right kind of environment for them. And then there's also a three-bedroom house on the same property, and that will be remodeled to provide a resource for parents with children, or youth with children, you know, toddlers or pregnant teens or young adults that don't have anywhere else to go. And then we would also have a three-bedroom apartment at the top of, on the third floor of the Gospel Mission building that we've located for the Youth Rising Shelter. And that would work mostly for what we would consider transitional living for adults after they've turned 18. So we wouldn't necessarily just, you know, age out young people as they turn 18, because unfortunately that's another problem that we see young adults between 18 to 22 who don't have support or life skills that allow them to find, you know, the proper housing or resources. And so we would assist them in having, you know, an emergency system where they can stay with us for a period of time and build those skills, finding jobs or going to school or whatever it is that they are looking into, and then we would help them, you know, assist them in finding the proper type of housing.
So you have big plans operationally. I mean, just beyond getting the place remodeled and into shape for the kinds of things you have, this sounds like a significant staffing up for Youth Rising.
It is, yeah. We're going to be hiring somewhere between 20 and 25 people total between now and the fully staffing and operating of the shelter building once it's fully going. We're very excited about the opportunity that this will bring to the local community as far as expanding jobs. And Youth Rising is very committed to providing family wage jobs, so we're hopeful that that will be something we can really do to support the community. We're also going to be working with OIT, Oregon Institute of Technology, in bringing in externs, so young people who are completing their undergraduate studies.
Not interns, externs, yeah.
Right, in psychology, population management, or health services of various kinds. And those folks would work as part of our peer advocate program, which is our certified peer counseling system. And they would assist us in working directly with the youth, as well as, of course, we'd have a variety of other staff. But this would allow for us to help, you know, connect with young people who are already working in that type of field. And then part of that process would be we'd want to hire folks who are generally those who've had types of experiences that may align with those of young people in our services. So, you know, someone who may have lived with their extended family, someone who may have been in foster care, or had an instance of dealing with juvenile justice, anything of that nature, that helps them feel connected to the young people they'd be working with.
So, Hallie, it sounds like for you as development coordinator, a couple of busy years ahead to raise the money to get the place remodeled and then to get it
done. Yes,
all
very
up to
busy.
Speed.
And we've been working very hard, Tasha, the executive director, and I, to write grants. We've also been approaching the federal government through a variety of resources to get some funding if possible. And then we're also going to be launching a fundraising campaign to secure the $800,000 we expect to need for the remodel and the initial operations at the Youth Rising House. So it's going to be a very busy time for us, but we're looking forward to it.
Okay, the one final question I have in the couple of seconds we have left is when? I mean, what do you envision for Youth Rising House opening on a date?
Well, we would like to have it open by sometime between January 2019 and December 2019 and January 2020, assuming all of the funding comes through and we're able to get everything going as we plan.
All right, so the end of this year or the beginning of next year,
yes.
It sounds like, for the beginning of Youth Rising House in Klamath Falls, 15 to 30 kids served, it is hoped, by the plans on the board now. A lot ahead of you. Hallie Winchell, the Youth Rising Development Coordinator, thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me.